Folks, it's hard to find the perfect pair of jeans. You don't want to break the bank, but you need something that lasts. So the problem with jeans is that the really good pairs cost $200 or $300 easily, and the bargain brands just fall apart and look terrible. If you're sifting through sales racks just to find a decent pair of jeans under $100, you can call off the search party. 2017 is here, and you're already behind on this winter's hottest trend, so why not ignore all the fast fashion noise and buy something timeless? Delisted offers luxury gray denim at affordable price. Jeans that would normally cost you hundreds, Delisted has starting at just $75. They utilize the same fabrics, factories, and wash houses as the best known brands and designers, while skipping the markups and middlemen. The result, pure unadulterated denim without the retail runaround. Go to delisted.com, spelled D-S-T-L-D.com, and see where minimalist design meets maximum comfort. Delisted is your answer to elevated style without elevated prices. Just go to delisted.com right now and use the promo code FERAL at checkout and get 20% off your first pair. That's DSTLD.com, promo code FERAL. Five letters, folks. DSTLD.com for your jeans.
FERAL Audio.
Welcome, everybody. The audience is growing, is building. The audience is growing. Hi, Alexis. Welcome aboard. We're waiting for that clock to tick 9 so we get hot. Pump it up. Hi, Ross. Hi, Betsy. Hi, everybody. This is for, I address people personally before the 9 o'clock hour. Brandon, Sam, Chad, of course. Hi, Chad. Hi, Chad Beck. Andrew, Phil, another Phil, Brandon. We're just waiting for that clock to tick 9 so we can hot pop it up. Folks, it's 9 o'clock.
I know you're at work, I know you're in the car, but you can clap your hands, I hear you out there. Come on! Woo! This is just what I needed for this Thursday morning. Sing it with me. Sing it, wada. Wada. I can hear you out there. You're clear as a bell. All right. It's 9 o'clock. It is February 9th, 2017, 9 a.m. on the West Coast. Beautiful day out here. The rain has cleared for the time being. Beautiful weather. Things are going great for me personally. I'm loving life. I'm loving it right. I'm loving it life. I'm loving it right. I'm doing it right. I keep going fight. I don't stop the fight. I don't stop the fight. Wow. Listen to that sax. Listen to that sax. Before we get to your calls, a couple of announcements. Vic Berger is going to be stopping today around 9:30. He's in town. He's coming into the Absolutely offices. He'll be on mic. So if you've got any questions or concerns or comments for him, please make your voice heard on this day of Thursday, February 9th. I want to plug an Absolutely show that's currently available to watch. It's not a commercial. I've not been asked to do this. My name does appear along with Eric Wareheim and Dave Kneebone as executive producers. I will say I had nothing to do with the show. It's a contractual obligation that we have because we are the owners of Absolutely Productions, that we get the honor to have an executive producer title. But the show, the miniseries 555 on Vimeo.com, is a short series directed by Andrew DeYoung, starring Kate Berlant and John Early. John Early, you might know from this Search Party show. Anyways, these two have, I mean, I haven't seen chemistry like this since Abbott and Costello, since Tim and Eric, okay? It is a short series, and each episode is a sort of a character study of these two people. I think it's phenomenal. You can go into Vimeo, search 555, and find it. It's I forget what it is. It's like $5 or something, and you get these 6 episodes, something like that. I might have the numbers all wrong. But I'm just so proud to be associated with it. I think it's hilarious. I think it's well executed. It's an incredible commitment to craft. And we must, as the Office Hours community is committed to craft, we honor it. What's Brandon, what are you saying Elvis Costello for? Speak up. Looking at the chats. I should stay away from the chats. It's $4, says Betsy. $4. And you get these, it's about an hour. About an hour of content, by the way. So that's tremendous content. Let's be honest. Tremendous content. And $3.99. That's it. The price keeps dropping. It keeps dropping, and Jody is making a good point here. She says it's worth it. Now, I know we're not here to get an infomercial about 555. Cars 999. Oh, listen to what's sneaking out. See, that's a callback. That's a callback. Okay, let's not get this taken off Facebook by playing a little buzz. Let's take Jeep for our first caller today. Jeep.
Yes.
Yes, Jeep. How are you, Bubba?
Oh, I'm great.
Well, how can I help you today?
I'm wondering which one of me or my friend, are we Hansi boys?
Well, I don't know.
Am I the number one Hansi boy?
You can't see us?
No, I cannot see you, Cham. I got. I'll tell you what. Why don't I? I'll turn on the camera here. Yes. Let's see if I can see you. There you are. Hey,
this
guys.
This is him. Who's more Hansi?
You are. You are.
I'm the more Hansi.
Yes.
You
can you? Where are you guys at? You guys look like you're cold. You're outside.
Oh, it's freezing.
Where are you?
We're in Louisiana.
Louisiana's being cold right now?
It actually is.
It's freezing.
I thought you guys just got some kind of tornado.
Oh, we did get a tornado.
So you can have a cold weather tornado.
Yeah, it was actually freezing, scalding hail.
Shit,
They actually named the tornado. It was called Tuwaptabuptat.
Tuwaptabuptat.
That's actually the name of the tornado.
That was definitely it.
Listen, why don't you guys go get yourself some jambalaya on the house, okay?
And don't forget the shrimp.
Don't forget about the shrimp. All right, dudes. Thanks for checking in. I do have to say, from an empirical, objective standpoint, it's hard to see. I mean, I can see you both. You're both wearing caps. Let's take the caps off. Let's take the ski caps off. Yep. I mean, first of all, one of you guys is a full-on hunk.
A full-on punk? Which one?
Full-on hunk.
Am I the full-on punk?
You are the full-on hunk.
Holy shit.
But you're both kind of hot, and I'm kind of getting into it. I'm kind of getting into being with you two together.
I understand that, and I really feel that.
All right,
really, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I feel
Mr.
that.
Mr. Heidecker, we are very big fans. We're just wondering, is there anything we can do right now that would appease your interest other than maybe kissing?
Kissing each other?
No, other than, well...
Oh, that's sweet. These two, by the way, folks, I'm watching, I don't usually do this, I'm watching video of these two young boys just getting to know each other, getting to know me. You can't see me, can you?
No, we can't.
No, it's a one-way mirror. All right, guys, stay dry, stay high, and be well, and thanks for calling in. Thanks for being the first caller today,
Big fans. Love you, Mr.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Love
you. Nice guys. Really good energy, Wade. Great energies, and everybody... appease your interest. Pedro!
Hi.
What's up?
Fine. I'm coming from Brazil.
Nice. How's my southern hemisphere doing?
It's okay. It's a big corruption scandal here for about a year now.
What's going to happen? Where do we see it going?
No one knows.
No one knows. Are you going to be all right?
I hope so. The police is on strike everywhere.
Really?
So maybe things are going to get like Mad Max. I don't know.
That's nuts. You want to come up here and get out of there?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. So I was wondering, I heard that you were a Bowie fan.
Yeah, Bowie. David Bowie. R.I.P.
Yeah. So what do you think about the last album? Black Star.
Black Star. I listened to it a couple of times. I thought it was pretty cool. It's dark. Weird. I like that first track. I mean, you know, it was incredible to listen to it after he passed because it had that context to it that you didn't know was going on when he first put it out. So, I mean, it's a little too like jazzy for my taste, or a little too like, you know, avant-garde, I guess. I don't know. I have to listen to it again. What do you think? What did you think? It's not about. Who cares what I think?
Oh, I loved it, especially after what happened. Yeah, it gave another meaning to it.
That's right. Well, thank you, Pedro. We wish you the best down there in Brazil.
Okay. Thanks. Bye.
That was like not the best energy, you know? He seemed a little bummed. But I can understand. He's obsessed with death. Charles.
Here in Brazil.
This is okay. Charles Malta.
No way. Are you serious?
Hell yeah, dude.
Hey, my boy. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Holy shit. I'm a huge fan. My brother is going to go crazy. We listen every time you have a podcast. I love you.
Thank you so much. How can I help you today?
Hey, how about Werner Herzog? What do you know about him?
I know that I could do a voice of him if I wanted to, but it's not right, you know, like right now. It's... we have to find why the podcast is here, you know. Is it because there's the despair and hard, there's a question about, we're trying to answer and there's no answer for it, you know. And it is bleak and so disturbing to find the people listening, starting to get into the Schwarzenegger zone, but...
That's great, dude. Hey, by the way, I'm rocking the Decker shirt, my man. Gotta let you know that.
Thank you, my brother.
You got it. Hey, I got the Oscar fever. I gotta let you know, Werner Herzog, he's got a great book out called A Guide for the Perplexed. Have you read it, my boy?
A Guide to the Perplexed.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's impossible to understand the misery and fear inside this book. But no, I haven't. I'll have to pick it up and put it on my bookshelf.
You got a favorite Herzog movie?
No, I don't have favorites. Remember, I don't do favorites.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry.
Okay. I absolutely loved the last one he did, though, the Lo and Behold. I thought that was good.
Yeah,
you know, I love him. He's out there trying to figure it out.
Tim, I want to thank you for everything you do, your creativity. This podcast is you just said not to say favorites, but it might be my favorite, my buddy.
Isn't that nice? Thank you, Charles. Well, I'm having a great time doing it, and I absolutely love talking to you every day.
I got one thing.
Go ahead.
Are you there?
Go ahead.
You got to check my dad out, Mondays with Malta, on YouTube.
Okay.
Can I send a link on the Facebook?
Yeah, go ahead and put it in there in the comments. We'll take a look. Looking forward
to
seeing
your
dad.
All right, thank you, Tim.
Thanks so much. Bye. All right, let's talk to Samuel Fulkerson's got a very angry-looking profile pic. Samuel.
Hey.
What's wrong, dude? You look pissed.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, well, I can hear you.
You look pissed in your profile pic.
I know I do. I made that picture yesterday, actually.
You're so angry.
I'm very angry.
What's going on with you?
Well, you know, I'm just chilling at school. Thought I'd tune in for a little bit. I love all you do.
Thank you so much. Where are you calling from? From school? What school?
I'm at Sacramento. I'm at Sac State.
Sac State, baby. Get those balls in that sack. What's going on? Why is everybody mad? Everyone's like, oh, they got the mad face because you're mad face.
I'm doing great.
Okay, so how can I help you today?
You look pretty pissed in your picture, too, if I do say so myself.
Oh, you're right, I do. I'm sorry. So how can I help you?
But how are you doing?
Oh, great.
Well, that's great.
I had a... I was doing good on my diet. I was really watching my calories, my sugar. I was not having the sweets. I was not, you know, chowing down on the desserts.
Right.
I was taking off some LBs, and I'll tell you what happened. Doorbell rings on Saturday, and who is it but the Girl Scouts?
What'd you say?
And I said, who is it but the Girl Scouts?
Always. It's always them.
And they got their damn cookies for sale.
They're causing all the problems, dude.
And I say, you know what? I will do. And I felt they're so sweet, such cute little girls. My daughter was down there. And I said, I'm going to show her what a good dad I am. I said, give me $50 of cookies. Because in my mind, I thought, well, I'll bring them into the Absolutely headquarters here. And there they can be for all the young and interns and everybody. They got free desserts on me.
Right, of course.
And I'm helping out a good cause. But
you're being a nice guy two times.
Right. A couple of them boxes did remain in my kitchen, though, I have to tell you. I have to be honest.
And I'm gonna What's your favorite Girl Scout cookie?
Well, it's the Tagalongs. It's the peanut butter cup ones. And then followed by a close second, you got the Thin Mints. I could do a whole sleeve of these. Sam, you're breaking up. I have to let you go. Sorry, buddy. Colton. Uh-oh. Are we in a Skype dead zone here? We are in a Skype dead zone. We are in a Skype dead zone. We are in a Skype dead zone. Let me try to figure it out. Nicholas.
Hey there.
Nickelodeon Theater.
Hey, I'm just using my work's Skype handle.
What's your name?
My name's Pedro.
Pedro.
Yes.
And we had a Pedro on earlier from Brazil.
Are you jacking me?
No, this is a two Pedro day, and this is really probably the first time it's happened.
Yeah. All right. Wow. That's great. How you doing today, man?
I'm good. Where are you calling from? The Nickelodeon Theater?
Yeah, well, Columbia, South Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah. But I got a question for you.
Go ahead.
I got a question and an observation. First observation is that one of my favorite things about your comedy, like a little nugget in there that I like about it, and I know I'm not just here to kiss booties and stuff, but is the use of "wish you the best." Because I've heard people say that in my life before, and I think it's a really interesting form of saying "fuck you," but not always in a direct way. And I've actually come up with my own version that I think is just as heartbreaking to hear, but isn't exactly "fuck you." But it's like, because I heard someone say this to someone was, you don't have to. You, like, if someone like is a musician or something, like you don't have to play music to hang out with us or anything. Like you don't have to be.
Well, how long have you been working on this? Because it's not coming out right.
It's not working. Well, I mean, it's not even a joke. It's a real human interaction.
What is it though? You haven't gotten to it. I'm confused. I'm zoning out. I'm starting to think about my day.
Okay. Well. It's more of a way of putting someone down, but also the same
What is
time,
it? What are you saying? Let's put it in the real world scenario.
Okay, real world scenario. So, Tim, listen, man, you don't have to do comedy. I don't understand why. It's not something you have to do. Like,
right,
I'm still going to get with you.
I get it. You know what? How about this? You don't have to come up with these clever things, okay? We're fine.
We're loaded with them.
I will say my grandfather used to call, when we'd get him on the phone, Or I don't know why, like we'd call in, you know, it'd be like, you know, let's call your grandparents to say hi, and he'd get on the phone, and his instinct is like to get off the phone as soon as possible, you know. It would always be like, well, all right then, all the best.
Well, yeah, like a pause followed by a well,
yeah,
is always the, like, it's a knockout.
All the best to you. That's what he'd always go, and then it would sort of get shortened down to best to you.
Best to you.
Yep. Well, you too.
All top best regards.
Best
and
regards.
Also, like ending all emails with best regards or thanks.
I do a little bit of all the best in the emails for in a sincere way occasionally.
Do you say thanks at the end of all your emails?
So it depends on the email. It could be if it's I'm writing to somebody to ask me to do something. Very much so.
Yeah, but I just feel like it's a way. Do you like capitalize? Do you do an exclamation point at the end? And like, I mean,
it's case by case.
Yeah, there's a way of telegraphing like enthusiasm, but sometimes I look at emails I've written to someone and it's just loaded with exclamation
points.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It's terrifying.
It's terrifying.
I feel like I'm screaming and maybe I'm like smiling madly in their mind or something.
Right. Well, but those are good observations, Pedro. I'm gonna
can I ask you a question really quick?
Mm-hmm.
This is something I've always kind of debated with my friends, and I was wondering if you could help me figure this out. But basically, the enjoyment of someone's art versus the endorsement of their character is something I'm kind of interested in. Like, if there is someone who is a jackass, but they make art that really connects with you, that you really enjoy, do you have any like particular stance on that? I mean, I know there's obviously examples, like, you know, we had one with. We at our theater, we played Manchester by the Sea, but then we had this argument about, well, with the Casey Affleck stuff, that's right. Something that we don't want to endorse. Or every time we get a Woody Allen movie coming down, we just fly. Yeah. We never play his movies. And our audiences are always just, you know, wondering why. And it's hard to draw the line somewhere, right?
Like, it is hard to draw the line.
What level of allegations or what level of, you know, proven character deficiencies is there to, like, say, well, we're not going to support your art because of this. And I was wondering, like, is it separate from the artist? Is the art responsible for what the creator did to it? Or
it's a very good, you know, some people are, by the way, saying that this is boring. I do not think so, Pedro. I think it's a fantastic subject. So those people can maybe spend some, you know, turn it off or just chill out and listen.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, why chime in with that negativity? I'm asking people directly.
They're
right
very
now.
Demanding.
So what else do they think this show is? It's just a bunch of bullshit. People talking about emails and this kind of interesting stuff. The first thing that came to my mind when you brought it up was Lou Reed, for example. Like, because I just read this book about Lou Reed, and the guy sounded like the biggest asshole ever. Like, just a terrible guy, mean and deranged. Some of it can be sort of explained by mental illness, I think. But you know, and I'm not the biggest Lou Reed fan or anything, but if Velvet Underground comes on, or, you know, Satellite of Love or something like that, you know, it doesn't affect really the way I enjoy that music, I don't think. Woody Allen's a tough one, man. It's a tough one. I mean, his work in general has declined.
Well, when someone like sees a film by him, some of that stuff's like encoded in there, like the stuff that he specifically.
Oh, absolutely. Manhattan
stuff,
and
it's, you know. Yeah, it's totally loaded. So I think that really, when it's stepping into very clearly, you know, being represented in his work, then it's like I this feels bad. And I think it comes down to feeling for me. I mean, if it just feels like. I'm like shaking hands and smiling with this guy who is repugnant, you know?
Yeah, they all had, there's so many folks that you find out later were just wife beaters and, you know, terrible to people.
You see that movie Birth of a Nation that came out?
I know, but I don't want to get into that whole story. That's just too complicated. But
right.
Like for John Lennon, for example, you know, like they come
right
about John Lennon where he's like a total abuser of his wife and stuff. It's like, still going to listen. I'm not going to stop. I can't compartmentalize everything.
Do you think that, I mean, the benefit to the world that art could serve could outweigh, like, you know, the character, right? So, I mean, Gandhi, if you focus on, like, these elements of his life that, like,
stuff... Yeah, the worst music.
Yeah. Nasty stuff. Really, like, grungy industrial shit that I can't get into. But at the same time, he did awesome stuff, obviously, for everything else. And I think that it's a matter of...
What's the Bible tell us? Do not judge. We shall do not throw stones in your glass house. I think that can guide us through many obstacles in life.
Well, it sets an example whenever people get away with it, right? If you're big enough of a star, then you can just kind of do whatever you want.
That's true. But I think we're entering into a new era where we're much more transparent and open about our personal lives generally, and there's much more ways to there are many more outlets that want to hear stories about certain people. So I think people are, and generally people get into this business are a little more, the rules are a little bit different about what is acceptable and what isn't acceptable, you know? So I don't know how much that is going to persist. All right, listen, I got to take more calls, okay?
Get out there. Get out there. Have fun.
Thanks Nick. Thanks, man. Pedro. Take care. Zachariah Short. Vic will be joining us shortly.
Wonderful.
What is it? How can I help you today, Zach?
Well, my good man, I am wondering what you think the Trump administration will have, the effect he'll have on the world of comedy. As we've seen the rise in SNL's ratings go up since his presidency, do you find any other silver linings?
I mean, for some people, yes. I mean, you know, we'll... Well, for SNL, it's probably great. It's great to have a focus, and the material that they're getting to work with is gold. You know, it's, you know, the mumble mouth Sean Spicer. Like, there's four different angles just on that guy, and there's a million angles on Trump, and there's a million angles on Bannon, and you know, all of them are very deep sources of humor to a lot of people. Self-inflicted, you know.
So, I think that this is a good way to deal with the madness that will be his presidency.
Yeah.
If one of my very favorite podcasters said, if nothing else comes good of this presidency, it will be the comedic gold that comes from places like SNL and other satirical sources like The Onion.
Yeah, I mean... Vic Berger, who's going to be coming in, of course, has been gifted with this presidency, I think, because every week there's going to be some clip or some moment in the news that's going to be something he can, some clay that he can work with, you know?
Sure, I'll tell you, was Vic behind, was it you, a collaboration that came up with the joke which he told both at the RNC and the DNC, which, in my opinion, just absolutely killed it?
No, well, that we were there doing that together, so, but that joke was mine. I walked around telling it.
I mean, that punchline was...
dream scene. Dream
scene, more like it.
Speaking of jokes, I have a non-political joke that I came up with this morning, and I'm going to tell it now, and then I'll tweet it later, and it's a little bit of a... You got to know your Tom Petty a little bit, but here it is.
Okay.
Maybe Tom Petty should have been learning to fly before he went free-falling.
Tim, that is gold.
Isn't that not bad? That's going to be fun. Huh? That's going to be...
It's not bad. In fact, it's better than bad. It's good.
That's right. It went all the way around the circle. All right,
hey, listen, Tim, one quick thing. I'm living in Germany. I'm an American living in Germany. And not too long ago, I tweeted a photo of a German man who is your doppelganger.
Zach, this is you who did this. This is from a tech company or something like that?
Yes, sir. And I can't say, this guy is all over the TV here. And every time I see him, I'm reminded of your smiling face, which makes my soul smile.
It's wild. Can you post that picture in the comments here? I'm sure a lot of the people know it, but it's a real weird thing to look at.
Absolutely, I will. I would.
Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
How's Germany, by the way? Everything okay over there? Or is it nuts like it is here?
You know, people are a little freaked out, but all in all, it's a great place to live, and I look forward to coming back to the States, but for right now, I'm having a great time.
Terrific. We wish you the best. All the best.
Hey, all the best, Tim. Hey, love you. Wish you the best, bud.
Thank you. Let's talk to Ben.
Hello.
Hey, Ben.
Hi there. I'm just going to mute my stream real quick. Thank you for answering. I'm very happy to be talking to you. I have a question for you.
Alrighty then.
My question is, do you have any advice for how to not laugh when you're improvising funny stuff and making gags and goofs with your friends and you want to be more convincing in your role?
I do not. I am one of the worst at this. I think there's plenty of YouTube videos of us cracking online. It's an embarrassing thing. I mean, I think the problem that I've discovered about it is so much of our stuff is improvisational that the first time you're saying something is also the first time you're hearing it. So you're not, like a lot of times when I'm doing stuff, I'm not consciously thinking about what I'm about to say. I'm working on that unconscious level, like I am talking right now. I'm not thinking ahead about what I'm saying. It's just coming out of my brain. So when if I'm improvising and I say something, I'm hearing it for the first time, my reaction to it is sometimes is the same reaction as you at home or at somebody behind the camera. And the only thing to do is just try to do it again and then do it again and it eventually becomes less funny and it's not as surprising to you. So that's the only thing to do.
When you're doing, one thing I was really impressed with, though, was like when you're doing those interviews for the $1 billion movie and you guys were really causing lots of havoc in the interviews, you guys were just, so committed to the, you didn't seem to be breaking ever.
Yeah, I think there's an internal understanding that when you're live or when you're with a third person that you don't want to reveal the joke that you're going for, that you can clamp that down a little bit. And there's techniques to just start thinking about baseball or looking, defocusing your eyes a little bit so you're not, just sort of zoned out a little bit when you're not talking and you have to listen to the other person. So,
The defocusing your eyes thing, it really makes sense. You're like kind of half listening to your partner but still reacting. Is that what you mean?
That's right.
Cool. If I ask one more question?
Go ahead.
You were talking about Lou Reed a minute ago, and I know you're not a huge fan, but I was wondering if you ever listened to his album with Metallica, Lulu.
I did listen to some of that. That was not for me.
Yeah, I'm the only person I know who likes it.
You do?
Besides Lars Ulrich, but I was just curious.
Yes, well, to each his own, okay?
Yeah, well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben Boy.
Bye-bye.
All right, that was Ben. Let's go to, who do we got? We got a bunch of people hanging out online, just chilling, taking it. Oh, yes, here's Mike Gunderson.
Oh, man.
Mike Gunderson!
Hey, what's up?
What's up? Where are you calling from, Mike?
Looks like my mic is pretty shitty.
No, I hear you fine. Hold on. I hear you clear.
Call me back.
I'm not calling you back. Poor Mike. Oh, here's Hannah. Hannah.
What do you got?
Hannah. Still. Hannah.
Hey.
Hey, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Not much.
Got a question.
Yeah, where are you calling from, by the way?
New Orleans.
Oh, baby. Fresh cold. Hold on to fresh cold. Now, what's your question now, girl?
I was wondering, I noticed that the Super Bowl didn't get hacked this year.
Yes, it did.
No, I didn't hear about any leaked songs.
Well, then you all pay attention. I did a Lady Gaga thing. You all go over to timhodecker.bandcamp.com.
I guess I'm not a good hacker then.
Well, it wasn't a very good one anyways. It was a.
They're all great.
Thank you, but you know, you'll be like, I don't know if that was really up to snuff. I didn't spend a lot of time on it, but I got asked to do it, and I put it up there for charity. So if you want, you know, I'm doing everything for. I'm doing all the Bandcamp stuff on my page. All the Bandcamp stuff is now for charity. So download anything that's up there. It's going to go to a good cause. Okay. Bye, Hannah. You have a terrible connection. This is really a shame. Must be from the tornado. Eric Rodriguez.
Hey, Tim.
What's up?
Not much. I'm calling from Orlando, Florida.
Yeah, baby.
Yeah.
I didn't know you're hanging out with Mickey Mouse down there?
I used to before I got into college and couldn't afford it anymore.
I wish I could hang out with Mickey Mouse and Goofy.
I actually called about 7 months ago. It was actually the day after I started doing comedy at the local open mics. And I did a little bit of my set back then. Yeah? It wasn't very good. I've since gotten a bit better, and I've started to pick up a little bit of traction in my area. But my question for you is, I'm Hispanic, and I'm a millennial, and I'm in Central Florida, which is just full of a bunch of angry, drunk white people. And I've since been kind of labeled as like a PC comic, which I already think that the term PC is kind of bullshit. But I've been labeled as a PC comic, and I just wanted to like ask for your advice as like someone who gets called a liberal cuck all the time for just being a decent human being and not being an asshole. What would your advice be to someone who doesn't have, you know, that big internet following and big fan base? Like, because it is kind of disheartening to just be drowned out by all that noise.
My advice is, I'm sorry, I'm having technical difficulties with my mic here.
No worries.
Let's see, it should work. This always works great. Of course, today, let me make sure this is all plugged in here. All going around and around.
Round and around and around.
Isn't that
no pressure.
Isn't that weird, Vic? This thing's just what's going on here? Sorry, folks. Tell us a little bit about Orlando.
It's weird. I moved up to Orlando from Miami about 3 years ago. Just came with my partner and my best friend. They were going to school, and I just came along. But I've since, you know, found like a lot of solace in writing comedy, and we're trying to get our own little skits off the ground here because we don't really have much of a foot in the door, and Orlando is not very accessible to like LA or New York, so we're just trying to make, you know, do with what we have here in the meantime.
Right.
But it's very, the comedy scene here is very disjointed. You know, you have the group of comedians who revel in like the offensive stuff and all the drunk stuff, and then you have people like myself who do very personal humor about my life, my upbringing, and being Hispanic and stuff like that.
All right, well, let me introduce our guest today. He's here in the studio. It's, first of all, for a second, why don't we do this? Vic Berger, welcome to the show.
Girl, baby.
Hey, everybody out there in the internet. How's it going?
So, Vic, you're going to take some phone calls and some questions while I try to fix this mic, okay? Is that right?
Yeah, I'm up for it.
Can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so Vic's taking the show over for just a minute, and feel free to ask him questions. Vic, if you want to hang up on Eric, because we've had enough of him. No offense, Eric.
No worries.
We are going to, you just press that. You understand?
Okay, got it.
And then move on. And I'm going to try to fix this mic problem. We'll be back together in a minute.
Okay. All right, let's do this. There's so many names come up here. How about Mark Spilka.
No offense, Eric. No, no worries.
You can hear you have your stream going in the back. Point,
you just press that. You understand?
Oh, boy.
And then move on. And I'm going to try to fix this mic problem.
Who's there? Is that Mark Spilka? You there?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hey, how's it going, Mark?
Hey, good. Quick question for you.
Sure.
So, no offense, but I was hoping to speak with Tim, but, you know, that's totally fine by me. I was wondering what your opinion is on the Dear White People new show on Netflix. Have you heard of this?
Dear White People? I've seen it, like, go, like, scroll through Twitter, but I do not know much about it.
Were you familiar with the MTV?
No, I'm very out of touch with a lot of things, so that's something I do not know anything about. Can you explain it, though?
Yeah, essentially, it's just a show about, like, you know, white shame, you know, white people are doing this wrong. It's kind of like demonizing white people, sort of. I mean, at least that's what I got from the trailer.
Right. I can't really have an opinion on that, to be honest with you. So, I mean, I know it's a little touchy what do you think?
I didn't want to stir the pot too much by asking a controversial question right away.
Right. I know. I just went in here, so
throw you in the deep end like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but what's your opinion on it?
You know, I think it's important conversation, but I'm hearing from a lot of black people. I live in New York, so, you know, I'm kind of in the mix. I'm hearing from a lot of black people that it's just kind of causing unnecessary conflict. It's kind of like pitting people against each other.
Right.
You know, not necessarily needed in that, you know, perspective.
Right. I said stirring the pot when not necessary. Yeah, I get that. You know what? I will watch it and get back to you on that, okay?
Yeah, you know, I'd love to hear Tim's perspective on that, too. If you guys want to listen, you know watch it.
About Dear White People?
No.
Nothing.
It was a movie,
right,
wasn't it?
It was originally a movie, but it's been, you know, transformed into a Netflix series.
One, two, dude. Yo, what's up? It's Tim Heidecker calling in. This is the SM58 mic. This is the mic we want. Okay, we fixed our mic. And you're just going to have to handheld this, Vic.
That's great.
All right, we are back. We're both on mic now. And enough of your fucking problem with this show. Who cares? Watch something else. Can you chill out on everything? Mark?
Hi, Tim. Hey, Tim, real quick, you know, I did want to, you know, mention something before I got into the controversial stuff. Now that I have you on the phone, I wanted to just say how, you know, how huge it is to have you here. You know, you were a really important part of my, you know, growing up, my adolescence. And I know you hear this all the time, but I just want to say you do awesome work and, you know, you are a great person and I do appreciate your existence.
Thank you so much, Mark. I do appreciate those kind words. Let's take a call from Ed FF. Hello, F.
Real quick, you know, I did want to
mute your stream. Oh. Thank you very much.
Hey, hi.
Welcome. Say hello to Vic Berger, everybody. Vic on the SM58.
Hey there, Vic.
The SM58, the old workhorse.
The horse that never quits. I hope.
How can I help you, mate?
Well, mate, I just moved to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
The city of brotherly love.
Right. And I was hoping you could illuminate something for me. My friends and I have been trying to put a bead on the Philadelphia accent. Seems like it's kind of all over the place. Maybe you've got some enlightening.
Well, Vic, you have a little bit of something going on. It's a little more of a Jersey thing, or what is your talking to Mike?
It's just like from like, cause I say Bethlehem and water.
Yeah,
and bitter. Things like that. I think it's just, you know, just.
A what's a long thing. Sandwich called?
Hoagie.
Hoagie. Yeah, see, but you're not as that bad is, as like a South Philly guy would say, hoagie.
Yeah,
hoagie.
Hoagie. Yeah. So what's that? There's like a weird surfer thing that comes up in certain parts.
Well, I don't know. I'm not a linguist.
Yes.
You know, I'm not the guy that knows anything about this.
Is that right?
You understand that much? No, but I don't find that I myself have a very discernible regional accent that I can. It's a perfect speaking voice. It's a mid-Atlantic, clear, concise,
perfect.
Well, we all appreciate that.
Thanks so much. And let's take Nicole into Stevens. Nicole, do you have a question for Vic?
Yes. Is Vic there?
Hey, Nicole. How you doing?
Hey, Vic. How are you doing?
Good. Good.
It's good to hear. Yeah. I was just wondering if how that Mike Cernovich situation was going. I don't know if he talked about it yet, but did he ever get like reprimanded or anything like
nothing,
that?
Nothing. Nothing. He's in the clear. He's out doing it to other people. So.
That's yeah. what I thought. Yeah. yeah.
He's
crazy.
Fine. He's stronger than ever, and supposedly he's running for Congress.
Ah!
So get ready.
For what? Orange County? Like where? So, in yeah, California? County, yeah. Yeah. Oh, boy. Wow. There's going to be a lot of skeletons coming out of that closet.
Yeah.
Oh,
goodness.
Wouldn't that be terrific if he ran for Congress?
Have a gorilla in office would be great.
I mean, we got to get him running so we can really let loose.
Right.
Report Mike Cernovich if you're on Twitter today. Just report him all day long. Just
will do.
Just keep hitting that report for abuse on somebody else. Because, and I'm not some kind of wimp snowflake or anything, you know, but if, like I've said before, if a guy goes online and wages a campaign to smear a friend of mine, there will be hell to pay. It might not be today, it might not be tomorrow, but it's coming down on him like hot brown rain. You hear me, Mike? It's gonna rain brown on you, hot brown rain. My army, my legion. Raise your hand. Thumbs up if you are in my army, the office hours army, the legion.
Yes.
My legion. You are my legion. I'm getting no thumbs up. One. Okay, well, that's enough.
My thumb is up. And
it only takes a spark to get a fire going. It's happening, Mike. Weird Mike. The brown rain pours down from the sky every day.
Is Mike getting more press? Like, is he getting more popular or more people realizing that he's stupid?
He has like 200,000 followers. Now he brags about that all the time.
Oh, what a loser.
So, he's getting bigger and, he's getting lifted up because of Trump. So.
Where are you, at a daycare center or something, Nicole?
Oh, no, I'm on my university's campus right now, having lunch between classes.
Just hear the voice of children.
Yeah, they sound like children.
All right, Nicole, thanks for checking in.
Thanks, Nicole.
All right, thank you, Tim. Thank you, Vic.
Let's take a call from Max Ward. Max Ward.
Hi, guys. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Hey, Max.
Good, good. Hey, one thing. Those first callers, they're from Louisiana. I'm in Louisiana. It's not cold at all. It's very lovely. So they're liars.
Oh, or you're a liar. How do I know? I saw them. They had their fucking ski caps on. What kind of gag was that?
They were probably not in Louisiana. That's all I got to say.
But why are they making that up?
They're liars. They were goofing the whole time. Anyways, on this business, Vic, you went to Berkeley, right?
I did.
So I imagine, do you play multiple instruments?
Well, let's be clear about something. Vic didn't go to Berkeley in California.
You got to make that clear. We're not on the East Coast.
Berkeley. Yeah. Berkeley.
Right. Berkeley.
Boston.
Do you want to know why they call it Berkeley? It's not even spelled like Berkeley, California. It's spelled B-E-R-K-L-E-E. And it's named after Mr. Lee Burke, who is the son of the guy that started Berkeley. So it's Lee Burke. So that's kind of interesting. And it took me a while to figure that out, why they call it that. But I did go to Berkeley from 2000 to 2004.
Oh, and are you a multi-instrumentalist? What do you play?
Yeah, I mean, guitar and piano, and like songwriting was my major.
Here's a little trivia thing on my classic summer release of I Am a Cuck. Vic Berger plays the lead guitar on that track, because what happened was I downloaded a karaoke version of I Am a Rock as my backing track, because I wanted to get that shit out right away. And here's what happened. The track didn't have that iconic guitar line in it. So I sent it to Vic, who also provided the Garfunkel harmony on the song. So that's talent, chap.
Why wouldn't the karaoke track have that, though? Is it,
I know.
Silence.
It was weird. I mean, maybe people are supposed to sing that part.
Yeah, la, la, la. I don't know. But yeah.
Yeah, it was lovely. It was awesome. You had great playing on that, the guitar part.
Thank you. Thank you.
Did you ever get into, I know in Berkeley, a lot of like, traditional music players up there. Did you ever get into that?
I was forced to, because I had no experience with jazz or any, you know, fusion or whatever it was, would be. So I was forced to learn how to do solos and improvise, and I'm still not very good at it, but yeah, I had to experience that. I had to learn some, like, Miles Davis, like, kind of blues solos, you know, note for note. And
wow.
So, but I...
Yeah. Cool.
I don't remember all that, but yeah, I learned.
That's
I
learned
a lot.
Of
got
that.
A lot too. So,
oh, sorry. Yeah, we play a lot of that down here in New Orleans. We play.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of traditional music. And it's a fun. It's fun. Fun time.
Thanks, Max. All right, Harry Duncan.
Hello.
Hi, Harry.
Well, hi. I'm on office hours. I can't believe it.
A dream come true, a dream come true.
Pretty cool. Tim, I love your music. Your music's great. I want to ask about Sauce Boy, which was such a great bedtime stories, and that song Doomed at the end of it.
You're doomed.
I mean, the whole Sopranos thing on that episode is also just brilliant. And
I'm going to try to find my my demo for it. I wonder...
Who did you get to do that on the episode?
Well, what's that?
Who did you get to sing that on the show?
That's the great... Why does it keep doing this? That's the great Bonnie Prince Billy, otherwise known as Will Oldham.
Okay, haven't heard of him.
Really?
Yeah.
Where's my... You're doomed. Hold on. Should be at the bottom here. Come on, I just had it up here. You saw it, Vic.
Mm-hmm.
You're doomed. So I made it for him. Gave him the track. This is just nuts. That it just doesn't play. I tell you what, I got big problems with iTunes. Music. Apple Music not working for me right now. Thinks it would just work, right? Anyways.
That's the way it's supposed to go.
Look at this, Vic. It's nuts.
Can you search the...
I did. I search You're Doomed in my thing. It comes up. It comes up here. Right?
Hmm.
And then it disappears. I wonder if I could play it here. This might be it. Let me try it over here. But yes, that's Bonnie Prince Billy. Look him up. He's got an incredible... Okay. You know him, Vic?
I know of him.
Yeah. What else?
Birthday Boys. I just want to say that show was so great.
Isn't that great?
And I realize it got canceled, so what? But do you have any story to tell or anything about that? What did you think about Birthday Boys?
Oh, I thought those guys were great. I thought the show was really good.
Are they still, making comedy?
That was Bob's boy. That was Odenkirk. Those were his boys.
He used to see them do like a troupe thing at a club somewhere, and then he got them into a show deal.
That's right.
Too funny, that stuff.
Too much. Oh, look.
Boom, boom,
oh, so this is boom, Will. This is Will Oldman's version.
Boom, boom, boom. You're doomed to live the life.
Wow, listen to that voice. That's an impressive voice.
Your reality.
Oh, yeah.
Stuck inside your reality. You're doomed.
I'll tell you what. I was on set. If I could find this demo, I'll play it next week. But I sent Will. Will Oldham this demo. I said, here's the song. Here's the general idea for it. Just me and a guitar. He goes, I'll do it. I go, great. What do you need? You know? He's like, no, I'll just do it myself with my guys and everything. And so we're on set actually doing the tornado episode. Mm-hmm. And I was sitting there and I get the track in from Will, so I download it on my phone. It takes up a lot of data because it's a big old AIFF file.
All right.
And I put on my headphones and I start getting choked up because of how powerful it is. I like my breath gets taken away, and I had no idea it was going to get. I had no idea it was going to be that great, and I just was fucking like jumping around. I was like, "Holy fucking shit! He did it! He's fucking." He took this little thing I made, this little germ, and he turned into the AIDS virus.
Yeah, okay? No, I got to tell you, it was slick at the end of that episode.
And, yes, slick, whatever. That's a dumb word to say for that. Slick. Come on, man.
That was neat.
It was powerful. And then I played it for Eric.
Yes, beautiful.
I played it for Eric. He had the same experience. He was like, wow. Holy shit. So, thank you for bringing that great memory up. Sometimes it just works out.
I'm so glad it did. Thanks for talking.
Thanks for bringing it up. Jackson Bowling.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, Jackson.
You hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I fixed my mic.
Are you are you related to Jackson Brown?
No, I'm not.
What do you got?
Oh, let's see. Last time, my mic didn't work. What should I say? I don't know, Tim. I'm a huge fan. I get nervous, you know?
All right, no worries, but just have a great day. So, Vic, what do you... Justin.
Hello.
Hello. I was going to try to talk... Go ahead.
I literally... Can you see me or no?
No, I have no interest in seeing you.
No, well, that's good. I'm here to ask you for parenting tips, because you have a kid and I have a kid.
And guess who else is a kid?
Vic has a kid, yes, no?
Vic has two kids.
Two.
How many kids is two? One boy or one girl or what?
One boy, one girl. One of each.
Well, same congratulations. I need some parenting tips from two of my besties from the internet, please.
Okay, well, how can we help?
What do you do when a kid that's one turns two?
You have a birthday party.
Get a little cake, let them break it up and throw it around and taste it.
Yeah,
all right,
that's it.
All right.
That's all you do.
That's about all you need to do on that tip, on that note.
Well, what do you do when they turn three, 2 to 3? Same thing, the cake.
Is that your little boy or girl?
It's a little girl. She says hi to you.
What's her name?
Nika.
Hi, sweetie. Hi.
She's probably seen a few too many of your videos for me.
Oh, boy. Well, listen, I had a terrible parenting night. Well, tell her to shut up.
Yeah, Nika, we're talking to your co-dad.
I had a terrible parenting night last night. I raced home from a long day of work, and my wife had plans. So, and luckily the plans were not very far away, but she went out, and I was left with my two children. And my four-month-old just would not stop screaming his bloody head off. Screaming! Like he was being branded with a hot iron, and nothing I could do would ease him, right? You've been there, Vic.
I've been there many times.
And I just was like, you know, feed the bottle. I had everything going. I was carrying him around. Luckily, my wonderful daughter was just playing in the room. And there's nothing I could do to ease his mind. I texted my wife. I said, "This, I don't know what to do here. He's like lost it." She raced home. And she did her little magic tricks, put him to bed, and then she went back out again. So it was hell, though. I was not into it. I can't talk to you if this kid's going to be screaming in my ear. He's done. I hung up on him. Trying to be honest with you, Corey. You better clamp down on those kids around you.
Jesus, right? You've been there, Dick.
Corey.
Oh, hi there.
How can I help you?
Is this Vic or Tim? I can't hear very well.
We're both here.
Yes. Do you have something for Vic?
Sure. The religious dude you make fun of, Jim Baker?
Yeah.
Has any of his weirdo people, contacted you, or have you gotten any guff from them?
They have. I don't know if you know who Kevin Shorey is. He's, the announcer on the show. He's one of the announcers, and he has his own show.
One of my favorites.
He's the guy that sings all the songs about the end times and everything.
Oh, man.
He sent me, a message saying I'm a huge fan. I don't know if he meant it or if it's just like his way of just saying, I'm watching you, you know?
Huh.
But then Jim Baker's grandson is a fan. He's contacted me about a year ago. He wrote me and he said he's a fan and he likes my videos.
Whoa. So,
he works on the show and he's Jim's grandson. It's pretty crazy.
What? Is that the guy that's a minister or is that his son? Because I know he's
his grandson is probably 25 or something like that. So I think it's the his minister's son's son. If that makes sense.
Well, that's really cool that they're not being jerks about it.
Yeah, not yet. I mean, not yet. I don't. You know, who knows what's gonna happen? But I mean, I. Yeah,
also, I made a video just kind of really ripping off your style. I just did it for fun one day. And I was wondering if you saw it. It's got a lot of music in it.
Oh, the video that's got a lot of music in it. Sure.
Send it to me again, and I will look at it.
Put it in the comments here.
Yeah, put it in the comment section.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Sure.
Looking forward to seeing my friend's work being ripped off. Incompetently, I'm sure. Who do we have here? Ian.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. Hi, Vic.
Hey, how you doing, Ian?
I'm good. What are you doing in LA? I'm curious.
Just taking meetings and hanging with the celebs and getting some sunshine in, you know, getting a little bit of a tan.
Are you going to any parties tonight?
No. The main reason I'm here is for office hours. That's what.
Yeah, we flew him in for his appearance
just
today.
For this. Yeah, so.
We couldn't get the Skype working on his end.
Right. And my plane leaves in an hour, so I got to.
Just a quicker option.
Yeah, it's quick. Yeah.
No, we did. Office hours is all about honesty. And keep doing this. I keep playing with my ring, and then it drops. We are, when we did, I'll say this, when we did the convention special that so many of you appreciated.
I love it.
That in my mind was sort of a test balloon for a more regular show, a TV show of some kind. So basically we're just out here to talk to a few places where that might be appropriate, see what they think. Very early stages, who knows. We're hoping for the best.
Fingers crossed.
That's awesome.
Wouldn't that be great? I think the idea is very simple. It's just kind of Vic going through the week with you guys, except it's not, it's not some guy in a suit or some gal in a dressed up nice in front of a studio audience, hammering didactically down your throat what you're supposed to be thinking. It's more of what Vic does great, which is sort of crystallize and encapsulate the week and with a little more support, a little more infrastructure to make it a broadcastable experience, but not too much different from what he's been doing now. And then get him out in the world and have him go sit down with Mike Cernovich, maybe.
Might have. We'll see.
Sort of in that Louis Theroux style, just kind of Vic the Everyman, as we saw in the special, and that big fat hair of his walking all over the place.
Dripping sweat everywhere.
So we'll see. It's a little gauche to be talking about it at this early stage because it might just end up going nowhere, but that's what we do here at Absolutely Productions, is we push the ideas we care about forward as far as we can.
Well, I mean, I can't wait to, if that becomes a thing, it's great because everything Absolutely does, the reason that it's so beautiful is because you guys start with it simple and then it sort of just builds its own universe around itself. So I can't wait.
Thank you for acknowledging that. Take care.
See you later.
Bye.
All right, calls are flowing. Nick Pennell.
Hello, how's it going?
Good, how are you? What can I help you with today? How can I help you today?
I got a question for both of you guys.
Shoot.
Okay, Vic, what is your fascination with the people who get overcome with demons and need to get the demons driven out of them?
I think, well, it's more that exposing, you know, The Exorcist, Bob Larson, and people like that, just exposing people, taking advantage of people that are vulnerable. And I think that's the main thing. Because I do, sometimes, like, with those videos, I got to be careful because sometimes I feel bad, you know, if it feels like I'm making fun of the person being, you know, supposedly exorcised. But so I do try and make sure that it's, you know, focused on how, you know, it's bullshit what this guy's doing and how horrible he is. And I mean, and this guy's been exposed many times, and Anderson Cooper did a big thing on him like a couple years ago apparently, and but he's still doing it and taking people's money. He charges like, you know, like $500 for a couple minute Skype call to exorcise your supposed demons, or just to see if you have a demon, you know, and then from there you get more. So mainly just focusing on that. Just how
does it make you laugh?
Yeah. Well, hopefully, yeah. I mean, there are some things, yeah, that it should be a mixture of humor and you know, like, what the hell's going on in this world? How can this happen? And so, I mean, so hopefully you can laugh a little bit about it.
By the way, also, I think what's so funny about that are the people watching. You know, people watching the exorcism happen. Like,
yeah, they're in the room.
Right.
Yeah.
Those are the reactions, I think, that are like, okay, is this real? This feels a little weird. Oh, by the way, big breaking news right now coming in. I did the Richard Spencer song with Jonathan Rado a couple weeks ago that came out. And I don't know how much I talked about it here, but I think I did talk about this amazing recording process. Well, we did two songs that day, and the second song has just come out now, part of our first 100 days program that Jag Jaguar and these guys are doing, with Angel Olsen and Jason Molina and all these great artists, Bill Fay. So my song just came out today, and it's a re-record of my song Trump Talking Nukes. And I did this with Jonathan Rado and these two musicians. So I'll just play it now, I think. This will be a Office Hours exclusive, playing Trump Talking Nukes. I'm pretty happy with the way this sounds. That's Rado on piano. That's Trump Talking Nukes, written late last year, and put it out on SoundCloud with just me and a piano. And then the other day when we were doing the Richard Spencer song, we laid that down as well. You can hear the similarity in the performances, I believe, in the two. And that is now on the Bandcamp site, ourfirst100days.bandcamp.com. That I also just tweeted it, so you can search there.
And you're going to keep doing songs like in that style with the small band backing you up?
I would love to. Yes, that was the reference, if anyone, all our music heads out there, the reference I said to Rado was, let's do like a Plastic Ono Band, the first John Lennon solo record, which is, if you listen to it, is really sparse. And you got drums, bass, piano, some guitar sometimes, but... And there's a little thing at the end with the drummer, his kick drum, where he's a, which is a little more like, if you remember the John Lennon song on Imagine How. It has this dead, really flat bass kick drum sound that I was really hoping to get near, and this kid just dialed it in. Beautiful. Beautiful production by Jonathan Rado from Foxygen. Buy his and support his music. See him. They're going out on tour. So that was fun to be able to play that song for you guys live. Just hit the airs. Angel.
Hey, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Is Vic still there?
I'm here, Angel. How are you doing?
Good, how are you guys? Hey, Tim, I just heard the new version of Trump Talking Nukes. That's really nice.
Thank you so much.
Really enjoyed that. All right, I've got a question for each of you. I'm going to start with Vic. Hey, Vic, I just started watching your videos. I'm a new fan of yours, and I'm really digging it.
Awesome.
I had a question for you regarding like finding your material. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like there's just a ton of stuff for you to work with, or do you feel like you're spending a lot of time like picking the correct things that Trump says to pick at, or do you think that there's just like so much?
You know, there's too much that like I think I make a lot of videos in like, you know, 2 weeks or something, and then I kind of slow down because I'm overwhelmed. And there's constant stuff, and I try not to usually focus on the things that get picked up by everybody else. You know, if there's something, some famous flub that he does, I try not to use that too much. So I try and focus more on the overall message that he's putting out. And but yeah, I there's definitely enough material out there for me. And I do like to split it up between politics and pop culture and other things like that. So I don't go too crazy, you know.
And I think you're also receptive to requests, right? I mean, or if somebody sees something that, like, hey, this would be great for you to dig into, I think that's
helpful. That's helpful. You know, send me a message on like my Facebook page or something if you see something you think would be right for what I do.
All right, I'll definitely keep that in mind. The first thing I saw was one of the Jim Baker videos, and I could not get over how good that was. I also wanted to commend your use of air horns. It kills me every time you do it. Okay, and Tim, I have a question for you. Now, I've looked through a lot of interviews for some insight on this, and you certainly don't have to answer if you don't want to, but I have a question about the development of Dr. Steve Brule's character.
Yeah.
So, when you guys first conceptualized Dr. Steve Brule way back in Tom Goes to the Mayor, when you were, like, kind of putting him in episodes, were you planning on him devolving over time, or is that just something that kind of naturally happened in the progression from, like, Tom all the way to Check It Out?
Yeah, I think he... I don't think he ever appeared in Tom Goes to the Mayor, but from Awesome Show on, yeah, it was a natural making each other laugh, kind of not super conscious. The more we learn about the doctor, the more degraded his situation becomes, I guess. But there isn't too much heavy thinking involved about it. I mean, we just... I think the collaboration is always trying to make each other laugh, and John, when he's playing that part, is very much performing for us and for the crew, you know. So we didn't. I guess it's like, you know, sort of like a. What's a good analogy for this? A snowball rolling down the side of a mountain, picking up snow to form an avalanche. every season, every bit, you pick up something that then informs the character more. And, you know, when, if, for example, you know, in the beginning there wasn't the concept of this hatred of hunks, but once that became something that was in Check It Out, that became a go-to thing. And, you know, you just sort of accumulate traits and characteristics, and that's just kind of how it works. But we're not consciously, like, dumbing him up necessarily, but sometimes with the writing of the scenarios, it's like, well, what if he doesn't, like, he tries to write his name and he can't do it? Well, okay, that goes in because it's funny to us, but it has some consequences later on.
Yeah. Like, by the end of the show, I feel like he can barely, like, say a sentence.
Right. Well, he is being slowly poisoned over time by his mother, so we can always refer to that as an answer.
Okay, well, thank you, guys.
Thank you!
Bye.
What about Chris with the big C?
Oh, hey. Is this Tim and Vic?
This is the Tim and Vic show.
Hi, how are Chris. You? I'm good. How are you?
How can I help?
Vic, I just wanted to thank you for your videos. This is pretty much the only way I've watched news for, like, the last year. I don't know how that makes my view of the world, but yeah. I was just wondering, how do you, like, filter through all this material and not, like, just be hopelessly depressed?
Oh, I am hopelessly depressed. I'm constantly crying.
So you're telling me there's no hope?
I think there's going to be. I think we're going to come out, you know, all right in the end, I think. I mean, I don't know, but, you know, I am very depressed making these things. Like, for instance, like, you know, when I was making the inauguration video, I got to a point where I, like, didn't know which direction to do, if it was even worth doing. I considered, like, stopping it, and then I sent what I had to Tim, and he helped me, you know, cheer up and gave me some tips to move ahead. So then, I worked on that for maybe 5 or 6 days total, I think. And then, you know, I was depressed during it and everything, but, like, at the end, when I finally completed it, I did feel a little better. You know, I felt like maybe it's a little just good for my brain, maybe good for other people's brains to see this. So that is helpful. But then, you know, an hour after that, I saw Trump was pushing, you know, the Muslim ban. So then I'm back into the rut. So, but I think if we just stick it out and stay strong and you know, laugh at things, I think we'll get through it, and, you know, we won't be depressed anymore. Maybe, you know, maybe things needed to bubble up to where, you know, we can see all this hatred and all the negative shit that's going on, and now we can kind of,
all the bad guys are out from the shadows.
Right, they're all there. We can see who they are. You know, all these people here, and now we can, you know, we know who our enemy is, I guess, if you want to go that,
sure,
that way.
Well, thanks so much for everything you do, both of you. You get me through these hard days.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
How about Phil? We love Phil. Phil Braun calling in.
Phil Braun. I know Phil.
Hey, Vic. How you doing?
Good. Good to talk to you, Phil.
You too. Hey, Tim.
Hey, you.
Good. I got just a couple of comment and a question for Vic. Y'all were talking about Jim Baker a little while ago, and I was kind of laughing about some of the nice comments you've gotten from some of the folks there. And if you remember, Vic, when you did the very first videos, it was kind of funny because the Jim Baker Twitter account sort of sweepingly blocked everybody right away. Anybody who watched that video or liked it,
right,
just got a sweeping ban from them, just right off.
Yeah.
Which they didn't seem keen on you early on, which was kind of funny.
And then I think they just got to the point where they're just like, nothing we can really do. You know, we're just going to have to ride it out.
Just relented, I guess.
We could dramatically change the content we put out, right, there into the world.
It's the only thing. So he doesn't make fun of us, but...
Right. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to ask you about and get your take on is your Steve Bannon photo, which is really kind of taking off out there.
Yeah.
It's popping up more and more everywhere. And
That's crazy. I asked Vic about this yesterday. I was like, does this confirming that like you made that, right? And you did.
Yes.
And it's so obviously photoshopped, but it seems to be like it's just gone into a place where it's just treated as a real picture of the guy.
Yeah, I was gonna ask Tim, like is that hurting, you know, the message? Because there's a big tweet, I guess, I don't know what the guy's name was, but he's like, you know, this guy claims to be genetically superior to this African-American guy. And
right.
Is that, you know, now that it's come out that it's photoshopped, but it's not that drastically different from the original, but it's just enough to, you know, to make him a little more hideous than he is, but is that hurting him? And I'm wondering, like, when I make these stupid, like, pictures, should I put some kind of, like, watermark on it to be, like, you know, like, enhanced by Vic Berger, you know what I mean, or something to make it clear that it's photoshopped, or, you know, what do you think, Phil?
You're hitting on my point, and you and I have, we've chatted in the past about people taking something and not appropriating or crediting to whom made the picture, but in this case, I was thinking, or wanted to see what you thought about just letting this picture go, because it's true, I think people don't fully realize that this picture is not altered, and it may be funnier if people assume this is an actual photo of Steve Bannon dying slowly of some mysterious disease.
Yeah, like something from the movie Outbreak or something.
Yeah. So just like don't even like acknowledge it anymore, and don't tell people that it's Photoshop. Do you think is best? Just like let it go.
I don't know. I mean, it's of course you want credit for good work, but they wouldn't
things
be
like that.
But, you know how sensitive.
I have to say, I'll interrupt you for 1 second, guys. Somebody had a very funny comment now that just occurred to me. David Tenenbaum says, "Hey, it's Vince Gilligan again. You sound exact. I didn't realize it before. You sound exactly like Vince Gilligan. Have you ever heard him talk?"
I don't know if I have, or maybe I just haven't heard myself and put it in that context.
Well, A-B it sometime, will you, Phil?
I sure will.
I agree. I think let it go. It's out there. It came from you originally, and your body of work is such that it should be, with context, understood that you have a habit of doing this, that you've put out these ridiculous photoshopped images of Trump for the past 2 years, and you create satirical things almost exclusively.
But should there be like a thing on this that says it's photoshopped?
No, the thing that says it's photoshopped is it's coming from you.
Okay.
That's the identification of this is not something to be taken seriously. Do you agree?
But the
Phil?
Fact this regime is so sensitive, they get so agitated and riled up about this stuff that it would just be funny to let this thing float out there and imagine they're getting more and more angry about it.
I think it's a small crime. I mean, it's not like we're calling the guy a pedophile or anything, Mike.
Minor by comparison, yes.
Fake news.
All right. Thanks, Phil.
See you, Phil.
You're welcome. Take care, guys.
We're winding things down a bit here. Stephen Gambino.
Hey, Tim. I've got a couple of talking points here, man. First off, that fool you had from Berkeley earlier, man, he's phony. It's cold in New Orleans.
Oh, thank you. Thank God. I mean, this is a big issue right now.
I don't appreciate him calling out my boys like that. That's not, I don't like that.
Well, fuck him, right? I mean,
absolutely. Fuck him.
I do believe it's cold in New Orleans. And there's one way to figure this out is go to weather.com and let's just see what we got.
Well, you could just take my word for it. It is fucking cold.
Well, how about I not take your word for it, okay?
Okay. All right. Second talking point. I want to talk about nipples. What kind of nipples you got, Tim?
Normal nipples. Thank you. They're not pierced.
No.
And by the way, the gentleman said they were in Louisiana, not necessarily New Orleans. And New Orleans is Louisiana is a state, so there could be different conditions.
It's not. I know exactly.
Hold on, breaking news, folks. It is 60 degrees right now and sunny in New Orleans.
Talk to me
about cold.
The two friends you had on earlier, they're really good partners of mine.
Well, then they're lying their asses off.
Oh, Tim, you're breaking my heart, Tim.
I don't know what to think here. I'm totally confused. I think the weather.com is telling me it's seems like a nice day right now in New Orleans.
Well, you gotta remember, man, we're used to some serious heat and humidity down here. So when it's 60, it's cold to us.
All right. Well, I gotta go. I don't know who you are and what your agenda is, but you're a pain in my ass. I'm getting to, I mean, I think he's doing a fake. I think he's pranking me. I don't know. I don't care anymore. Joe?
We're used to some serious heat humidity down here.
Joe, mute your stream, you pig.
All right. Well, I gotta go. I don't know who you are.
Can you mute your stream, pig boy?
Yes. I'm getting. I mean,
okay. Sorry, I didn't know that I would that you would answer.
Well, here's what I keep saying about that: expect to be called upon. You're calling in. How can I help?
I had a something interesting happen about a month ago at work. Is my coworker was getting these phone calls at 6 p.m. exactly, and he was unable to he was unable to identify who it was, but I'm a fan of your work and Tim and Eric, excuse me, and I was able to identify him as James Quall.
Oh, really?
I was just curious if you were if there was anything coming up with James Quall calling people at random at 6 p.m.?
No, not familiar with that in any way. I'm not sure what that's about.
Okay, that's pretty much my only question.
Thanks so much. Yes, BM. Hello?
Yeah.
Oh, you're still there. What happened? Hold on, let me. Thank you. Who's there? BM? No. BM, somebody? Surrey, BC?
Hey! So. Oh, I got you! Hi!
Is this a Kit Kat?
Yeah, Hey.
How can, hello? How can I help you?
Oh, I just had a question. I noticed, like, there's kind of a theme in your work where, like, naive, kind of good-natured people, they get manipulated and, used by other people. So I was wondering if that was part of your worldview?
You mean characters?
Yeah.
Is it my worldview? I mean, I think it generally, I think it happens in the world. That experience happens in the world. I think depending on the specific work, you know, everything is about relationships, and from a dark comic standpoint, the intention to create sort of dark comedy often involves negative qualities like lying and manipulating and taking advantage of other people, just in the stories we tell. So those are, I mean, there's no, like, you know, stories without bad things happening, are not really that good stories. You know what I mean? Like, what's a good story?
Oh, yeah.
So we create conflict in our stories, and they often involve people not being nice to each other, I guess, at the fundamental level. So within the conflict becomes, there's either a dramatic way of doing that or a comedic way of doing that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Thanks so much.
Bye-bye.
That was very, I thought that was very well said. Did you ever think about it from that angle, Vic?
I have not.
There's
really.
Either a
BMCT.
Hey, man.
What's up?
Not much. I got an idea for a Cheers reboot. I've been Twittering Mr. Vic and some other folks about it.
Okay. Well, we're not really in the position to help you in that, but we're glad to hear your pitch on it.
Yeah, no, it's just a stupid idea. But basically, Scottie Pippen is going to play Sam, Vic Berger as Norm. And then.
It's kind of mean. Thanks. Kind of mean.
Thank you. Can I be like a dancer or something?
Norm, well, Norm's a friendly guy. Everybody yells his name when they come in.
But go ahead. Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah, we'll go with it for now.
All right. So, and I also, have you ever seen that the robot that Sony has that they put out that can, like, walk upstairs and stuff? It's got, like, a big backpack on it.
Let's say yes for the sake of not wanting to hear anything more about it.
Okay. Basically, a few years ago, they had a demonstration.
Wait, no, I know all this. Keep going.
Yeah. So each week, there's going to be an unexpectedly, the Sony robot's going to fall down the stairs, and, like, you won't know. You won't know, like, when that's going to happen. It's going to be pretty exciting.
All right. Thank you very much for the idea. I won't be pursuing it.
That's cool. I just wanted to share it.
All the best.
I'd watch it, though. If you make it, I'll watch it.
Sweet.
Thank you. Hey, Mike's back. Mike!
Timmy.
Mike Gunderson's back.
Hey, what's up?
What's up?
Say something so I know where I'm talking to you.
Testing 1, 2, 3 for Mike Gunderson. Mike Gunderson coming in loud and clear.
Oh, man. Finally got in. Okay.
You're going to be our last caller today. Make it a good one. 2 minutes left, and then we have to say bye-bye.
Yeah, is Vic there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, first cue for Tim is familiar with Yingling, the beer. And for Vic, what is... You know, he does this YouTube stuff. What inspired you to do that? And do you have an interest in, you know, doing, like, some content with plot lines and stuff? Like, directing actual, you know, kind of what you do and stuff.
Yeah, I would enjoy doing that, trying that out. Just, you know, because I'm just one guy, you know, alone in future. I have to use existing footage, and that's just me messing around and myself laugh, I guess, is how I got into it.
Yeah, that's...
You know what I mean? So I'd like to evolve it. You know, I've only been doing this a couple of years. Who knows what'll happen in 2 years?
Thank you very much, Vic, for being a big part of the show today.
Nice. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mike Gunderson, the big star of the show. Mike Gunderson gets 10 free office hours listens over the next 10 weeks. Enjoy the gift, Mike, from me to you. Thanks again, guys. We'll be back, hopefully, next week for more office hours. Vic, have a safe flight back to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. Goodbye. Baby! Sure,
baby!
Sure, baby!
Feral Audio.